Let's call meeting the order. Can we get a roll call, please?
Steele.
Here.
Lynn. Abbott. Barlow.
Here.
Merkin.
Here.
Miller. Abbott. Smith.
Here.
Cable.
Here.
Thank you. Let's consider approval of the agenda. I know that we might have discussed a couple of changes. Mark, did you have something?
I make a motion to add an agenda item after public comment, so we can call it 5 and a half or whatever you want to do, but before new business to discuss old business.
Any particular Scott?
I wanted to talk about what happened at the Board of Supervisors meeting last night and what the impact of that is to versus what our recommendations are.
Okay.
So as much as is known, and then if we need to make additional requests for information or plans, then we can.
Are you also looking for an update on Senator Grove?
My understanding is that the Board of Supervisors voted against our recommendation for Senator Grove, and they voted against our recommendation for the Ames expansion. So I'd like an update on both of those.
Okay. So we have a motion to modify the agenda in that way for a second. What's your voice vote on that? All in favor?
Aye.
Also,
do you want me to do that?
Yes. What's that?
Make a motion to change it so that we cover the CBC plan after public hearing.
First, your 6.1 and 6.2. Okay, that is a motion for a second.
Yeah.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right, we will consider the agenda approved then. There's no other changes. Is there any changes or additions to the minutes from March 2nd, 2015? Hearing none, the minutes will be approved. All right. Now it's time for public comments. This is time for members of the public to offer comments concerning matters that are not scheduled to be heard tonight by the Planning and Zoning Commission. Any comments from the public not already scheduled to be for discussion? Okay, great. All right, so we are up to the added agenda item. We'll call it old business and updates on the land use plan amendment and the Center Grove Orchard project, Center Grove Orchard modification.
Yeah, the Center Grove Orchard conditional use permit application was before Planning and Zoning Commission last month, I think it was March 2, and that item went on to the Board of Adjustment. It did not go to the Board of Supervisors. That's something that the Board of Adjustment has the authority to act on under the county development regulations. And they approved it with the conditions that the Planning and Zoning Commission supported. So it was the same recommendation.
Okay.
So no additional conditions, the same conditions that we recommended?
The same. And then they also asked the staff to involve the fire department and having them look at any issues with traffic. Again, one of the conditions is they're supposed to do a traffic study for 210 and 610 to address the current impact there. There's a question or concern raised about, you know, what would happen if traffic were backed up along 210, would the fire department be able to respond? And so they asked the staff, once that report is done by the engineer, that we share that with the fire department and get input from them. But other than that, they approved it with the commission condition.
And if we that study would come back to us, if we wanted to review it again?
Yeah, you're going to get a copy. We'll update the planning and commission 2 months prior to the conditional use permit expiration. So maybe December, January.
Thanks. And then the Ames
It was the Ames Urban Fringe Plant, East Industrial Area. That item was before the Planning and Zoning Commission. We provided the same recommendation, PowerPoint presentation to the Board of Supervisors that was provided to the Planning and Zoning Commission. Planning and Zoning Commission is a recommending body. After the presentation, there was quite a few people here for that issue as well as other issues that were on the docket, on the agenda, and the Board of Supervisors did approve the request or the amendment to extend the planned industrial area from its current area south of the track, and then also extend the agricultural and long-term industrial reserve areas to the east and to the south. And then a part of that too was trying to square up the boundary. There's that 2 mile limit. It was circular, and with the work that had gone on with Ames and Nevada, the city thought that it made more sense to use 590 as that eastern limit. So that was a part of that amendment.
So it approved as proposed.
Approved, correct.
Any questions?
Well, I kind of do have a question. Jonathan did really good work on the Center for Global Orchard, and I'm glad to hear that Zoning Board of Adjustment took our recommendation, because I did spend quite a bit of time on that and just, you know, did some good work. I'm a little confused because both the Planning and Zoning Commission of Ames and the Planning and Zoning Commission of Story County unanimously voted against what the supervisors ended up accepting. And I know we only recommend. I certainly understand that. But I'm a new member on this group, so for my system, I'd kind of like to know what was the disconnect there? Why do you think the Planning and Zoning Commission and the governing body had such different takes on that?
That's a tough one. You know, you're right. You are a recommending body. My understanding, I think probably 80-90% of the time, maybe higher than that, the Board of Supervisors do follow the recommendations of the Planning and Zoning Commission. On this particular issue, they felt it important to, in looking at the bigger picture, from a staff perspective, long term, with the proximity of the freeway, with the Lincoln Highway, U.S. Highway 30, the plans for a new interchange, the level ground, you got single ownership, large parcels. You know, it is a prime location for industrial development, and you've got proximity with the city of Ames and the eastern limit with commercial industrial development. You've got the same thing going on the western limit with Nevada. And I think all of those factors played into the decision that they made.
I don't think that any of us were unaware of any of those factors. I think we were aware of it all, and we had those discussions with the bodies that brought the proposal. I think that our concerns were really about the scope of what it was that they were doing, and without a lack of adequate planning behind it, other than just saying, let's do this and then we'll figure it out afterwards, what we're going to do with it, and how we're going to do it, and how we're going to pay for it. And probably the exact same concerns that the City of Ames Planning and Zoning Commission had, and we recommended, you know, accordingly. And it's not, in my own mind, it's not that I don't understand the big picture or the long-term planning or the long-term impact. Before I approve something like that, I would, because that was a very, to me, it seemed like a land grab. Let's just convert all of this into industrial, not make any accommodations for the there's already industrial that's been there designated and never used. Not making any accommodations for there's like I don't know the right terminology, but a wildlife or area, the natural resource preserves and waterways and that are in that area that are just essentially ignored. We're going to have industrial right up to the edge of a natural resource without any transition area for it. And there were concerns that were expressed, and I'm disappointed that the Board of Supervisors decided that, and I'm still curious as to why we put time into things like that if the answer is going to be they're going to do what they're going to do anyway.
Could you summarize me in 2 cents of why the planning and zoning rejected? 2 3 sentences, that's it.
I think it was like a 5-2 vote is my understanding.
Sounded.
I think there were quite a few people at the meeting that were against it. They were concerned about the expansion of it. Maybe that was too large. That was probably the biggest issue that I heard.
Do any of you remember the land grab discussion about 590 quite some time ago? And that's where the Ames and the Vader decided, hey, we won't go any further here. We won't go any further here. And the reality is that all of that land up to 590 had already been part of the fringe plan for years and years. And the reality is what they're doing is primarily formalizing that's what they're going to do. Okay? But they were going to do it anyway. Even if they had to do it by eminent domain or whatever the heck. Which can't be eminent domain, but what you understand what I'm saying? They were going to do it. Period. And it's already been designated planned industrial and light industrial.
It wasn't all designated that way, and that's what the change did. Is it changed the designation?
Yeah, south of planned industrial is currently agricultural long-term industrial reserve, and it had that designation for 10 years since it was adopted.
I have a couple comments and questions. I think these are good notes, and I think I'm going to the commission as well. Part of our rationale was that we were discussing the Ames City Planning Commission vote. The fact that they had rejected it. To me, that was informative. Mm-hmm. And that, although I didn't have details, I wasn't at the meeting, I didn't administer any of that. But for me, that's the important of guidance. The size of the land seems significant. We talk a lot about that. And the fact that it overlays areas designated as natural resource and waterways and floodplain areas that with no information to address what the plan was to preserve and protect those. And we asked about that. The other big factor was we asked why now, what is something coming down the pike in terms of needing to redesignate that land for some kind of industrial development? And the answer was, there's nothing on the table right now.
You don't believe that, do you?
That's the question. That's the answer we got. And so those were big factors for me. It just seemed like why now? Why this? How this big? Are you going to address natural resources and other concerns raised by people living in that area, and so on? So I thought we did due diligence on those things, and we didn't get good answers, which is why I my sense of our vote was we need a lot more information. My big question here is regarding the disconnect that Linda has referenced. Does the Planning and Zoning Commission have any ways, asking for accountability from the Board of Supervisors? We did the due diligence work. We put the time in. We heard from people. We asked questions. we sort of, you know, filtered through the information, which is what I see as a big part of our role as an advisory body. And they voted the other way. Now what? Is there any avenue for accountability? Is there any follow-up? Do these two bodies ever talk to each other? You know, after the fact, you know, I wonder why they didn't send it back and say, hey, we think it's a good case. You know, why not go back and forth a couple times and put it out? I thought we got a lot of good information, not a lot of good answers. Now what do we do?
Because you guys weren't at the meeting, I wasn't at the Board of Supervisors meeting, right?
I
do record that. Were you there?
I was there.
Okay.
And I would like to say something in terms of what caused this. Jerry, I really thought you were kind of between rock and hard place at that meeting. Because I think you knew where the county supervisors wanted to go, and you knew where the city had gone. And then there's our recommendation. I didn't feel like you felt very comfortable strongly forwarding my recommendation when you said, questioning you about it. My suggestion is maybe a member of this commission should come and assist in presenting to the Board of Supervisors when they have something going to them. Because when you say, here's what we saw, here's what we saw.
Well, those are public meetings. I think anybody can certainly attend those meetings. But with regard to the Planning and Zoning Commission's role, with regard to decisions that are made by the Board of Supervisors, there's nothing that's set out in the county development regulations that gives the Planning and Zoning Commission any authority to remand any decision back or to change any decision or to revisit an issue. The Planning and Zoning Commission's role is to make a recommendation only, and the Board of Supervisors takes that information and then makes a decision.
And I understand that. And I'm not saying, I understand the rules that are clear. I'm just saying, might it be helpful if a commission member could go with you to the Board of Supervisors, and then if there are questions that ask about our recommendation, we could, you know, from our point of view, here's what we were thinking. I mean, the easy answer is, I mean, certainly we'll look at their room a little bit, and they should know that we're on commission, but nobody else is doing that.
Well, and I should probably remind you, too, that the staff recommendation, when we came to the Planning and Zoning Commission, was to approve the amendment. That was the staff recommendation. The Planning and Zoning Commission recommended denial, 5-0, with one extension. And, you know, that's the information that was communicated to the board.
And if I could just respond to that, I'm not sure I have to say my thing. I just offer a couple of suggestions.
Can I say one more thing before you do?
One that, go ahead.
There's a recording online, the county thing, and I didn't get through the whole thing. I was in the middle of part two, but it was, I got into some of what was going on, yes, and also on another topic, I was talking to Rick Sanders today about this sort of thing. Okay. My recommendation is if you're not there, as a Native Board of Supervisors, listen to the tape so that you can catch up on what the thoughts were, what the input was from not only Jerry, but also members of the audience. Okay? I frequently listen to those tapes. You can do a lot of other things while you're listening to those tapes. And so it brings you up to speed. And perhaps listening to that might give a different slant on what you're thinking based upon, here was the recommendation here, and the decision that they made and why.
Big picture, I think that it's somewhat uncommon for the board to not take the Planning Commission's recommendation. Even if it were left to say, keep going what we think is best. We are charged with having a long view that the board of supervisors isn't necessarily charged with. So even if they don't take our recommendation, I think we're doing the right thing.
Yeah.
Also, we communicate, we meet at least once a year, right there, the annual work session with the board.
And the commission meets with the board to
address concerns like these and opportunities to address concerns like these. And finally, we're on the appointed members of the Planning Commission, but the board of supervisors are our representatives too.
They're elected.
Feel free to contact them, communicate with them, and attend their meetings as well. So, all right, let's wrap that item up and move on to item 6.
I guess there's one now. We're going to do a public hearing. We're going to hear from the staff and then the applicant, and then open a public hearing on CUP 01-16.
Yeah, thank you. Conditional use permit to allow two separate ball pits containing approximately 7 acres, actually a little less than 7 acres. They're proposing to extract approximately 100 cubic yards of dirt from each. The applicant is J.D. Holland Construction, 2092 Highway 9 West out of Decorah, Iowa. Property owners, there's actually two separate parcels. There's the, what we're referring to as the north parcel, which is 27 acres. Property owner, title holder is C.G. Lee Joint Venture, and Joseph Favors is the title holder for the south parcel, which is 37.63 acres. Current zoning is A1 Agricultural District. All of the, both parcels are A1 Agricultural, and also the adjacent surrounding parcels are A1 Agricultural District. Land use on the north parcel, primarily row crops. The parcel to the south has about two-thirds row crops, one-third woods, heavily treed with a ridge. It's probably 20 to 25 foot of ridgeway that extends northwest, southeast through that parcel. And then both parcels are located within the floodplain. J.D. Holland, again, is the applicant. They were awarded a contract from the Iowa DOT for the first phase of the Iowa I-35 improvements, which include constructing grading for proposed roads that would be about 2.5 miles in length, and they would be on the west side of I-35, south of the interchange of U.S. Highway 30 and I-35. They did reach agreements with the landowners to acquire the dirt for this project. Both parcels, again, were located on the west side of the freeway. Both of these ball pits will meet the 50-foot minimum setback requirement from all parcels. The north parcel is fully located within the floodplain. Approximately the east one-half of the south parcel is located within the floodplain. One of the requirements is that they are supposed to submit a floodplain development permit application as one of the conditions that submitted that today for review. The existing I-35 right-of-way will be used to enter and exit the parcels for the ball pits. They will not be using or accessing any of the adjacent parcels. So the movements with the equipment and the trucks will be east-west. They're going to be going right from the free right-of-way of I-35 to each of these parcels. So none of the adjacent parcels outside of those two parcels will be affected. Applicants did provide information about the equipment that they're going to use. They plan on using 3 to 4 Cat 740 off-road trucks, 1 to 2 John Deere 450 excavators, a Cat 6N dozer, and other small support equipment. They have areas marked, and I'll show you a map when they're not using them during the day within the either the DOT right-of-way or the project site to park those vehicles. Portable facilities will be provided for employees. Again, we did tell you about 100 cubic yards of dirt from each. Each ball pit will be approximately 15 feet depth. Depth to water is approximately 3 to 5 feet. Hours of operation, 6 a.m. to 7:30 p.m. They're probably going to be working 5 to 6 days a week. And the project completion date is November of this year. End use plans, the goal is to prep the ball pits for use of fishing and hunting. And then one of the things that's required is to provide a bond for restoration work. They've determined that the work will cost approximately $11,000 to do both, and that was one of the conditions. So we're into the photos. This is the aerial 2013. And Stephanie, could you hit the light, maybe? Is that okay? Thank you. You've got US 30, and then I-35, north-south. This is the north parcel. It's about 27 acres, and then the south parcel, 37 acres. Distance between the two parcels is about 1.5 miles. This is an aerial that was provided. Again, the red line represents the work that they're going to be doing. Again, it's primarily grading work that they're doing. Again, it's about 2.5 miles in length. You get the Skunk River here extending through. And then you see on the north end, the North Borrow area, and then on the south end is the South Borrow area. One of the big reasons for this work is the DOT is planning to remove the existing and construct new bridges over where the Skunk River is. And then also the bridge over 260th Street will be replaced. So that's the big reason why this work is being done. This is a document that was provided by the DOT, and it shows you the Skunk River to the left side. And again, those two bridges will be replaced. The proposed bridge, 260th, and then to the right is the interchange. Aerial photo shows you that north parcel. You see a little more clearly. To the southwest area, you can kind of see where the previous river, the Oxbow of the river channel was. They're going to be clearly outside of that Oxbow. That was one of the questions that the conservation staff had, and their questions were addressed with the information that the applicants provided. And this is a construction drawing. Shows you that they're meeting the 50-foot minimum setback requirements. And I think this yellow line is to represent the east-west drive that will be constructed for that east-west lateral movement. And again, they're going to be going from working within the right-of-way directly to the parcel. They will not be using or accessing any of the adjacent parcels. Pictometry, pictorial, again, this is the north parcel. Now we're on the south parcel. Again, you can kind of see that tree and ridge line that extends through the western portion. Again, so probably two-thirds of that is in Rooftop. Ball pit would be in the northeast corner of that. And then the construction drawing, they're showing that they're going to meet the 50-foot setback. Pictorial, pictometry, photo. Again, the ball pit would be in this area here, see the freeway. We just threw this in for good measure. This shows you they call it a flyover. They're proposing to construct a bridge that will extend from the northbound lane, which will extend to the westbound lane, so no longer will you need to take the cloverleaf to go west. So it's a part of the improvements that they're doing in this area. And this is something that's supposed to start this year, I think, construction actually in 2017. That they're going to, I think, start on the grading this year. So with the staff recommendation, the Planning and Zoning Commission looks at the standards for approval. The first thing that's addressed is the compatibility with what's being proposed for the area. Parcels are located directly to the west of I-35. I think on the short term, you know, grading activity of this size, of this depth, it's going to be different from normal agricultural use activity. So that's going to be somewhat of a distraction on the short term. There are, however, no single-family homes directly adjacent to that north parcel. There is a 25-acre conservation parcel owned by the Iowa National Heritage Foundation. To the southwest, though. The property owner to the south, who owns that parcel, also owns additional land, and he has his residence on a 46-acre parcel. There's also a couple of additional single-family dwellings about a quarter mile to the northwest, again, from that south parcel. There will be no buildings proposed with either the two ball pit projects. And then, as we said, upon completion, they'll create ponds, which will likely provide habitat for wild animals and also likely provide some visual appeal for motorists on I-35. The the area south of the north proposed pond will be converted to CRP ground. The transition, the proposed ball pits will meet the minimum 50-foot required setback. The land to the west of the north parcel is owned again by the Iowa Heritage Foundation. It's, again, it's a 25-acre parcel. The woods in that ridge, elevated ridge, will provide some buffering of the borrowing activities for the parcel to the south. And again, both parcels are directly adjacent to the I-35 corridor there, so you have very heavy traffic. So you have vehicle noise. Traffic, all routing of trucks, again, primarily east-west, except for when actually within the DOT right-of-way. Adjacent parcels or driveways to the parcels will not be affected. They'll also be constructing, they're doing it right now, a concrete barrier to separate the southbound traffic from the project that's occurring for safety purposes. Parking and loading, there is no specific standard in the county's development regulations for what is being proposed here. But again, as you said, all of the equipment will be parked within the DOT right-of-way or within the project site. Signs and lighting, no signage or outdoor lighting is proposed. Environmental protection, the boundaries of the proposed bio pits will be located outside of those river outflows. Initially, there was some questions raised by the conservation staff. They wanted to make sure that they were considered and protected. The pits are going to be outside of those areas. They did not raise any additional questions or concerns, nor did they recommend any additional conditions with regard to the work on that north parcel. Water will be used to assist with dust control measures, and they also are required to apply for and receive a National Pollution Discharge Elimination System permit. And as a part of that, too, they have to prepare a stormwater pollution prevention plan. There's a sloping requirement that's required, and the way it's written is it's a maximum of a 5-to-1 slope out of the water. They're not proposing any swimming. But then upon completion, there's also a 5-to-1 maximum at least slope into the water, and they're supposed to extend that at least 10 feet horizontally so that the slope is consistent in and out of the water. Because these are in floodplains, when you're digging holes, it's going to be studied that you're likely creating capacity for the area, so hopefully this will help with some flooding measures if it occurs. And then, as we mentioned, the proposing burying use is to be used those for fishing and hunting. We did route this to all the departments that you see and received comments from conservation. Addressed those comments that they had. Engineering did talk about the work that's proposed on the bridge for 260th and also the 10th River Bridge. We did send notices to the general public March 25th. We did not receive one phone call. We did not receive any visits with regard to this project. We also, for good measure, sent out notices to the City of Ames and the City of Gilbert and did not get any comments back. And so staff brings us all recommendations. Staff is recommending approval. We do have four conditions. I'll just go through them, summarize them. Again, the south one has the woods, the ridge. We're recommending that it be identified, the eastern limit of that. Again, the ball pit would be to the east of that wooded and ridge area by using fencing, lath, or whatever material to keep heavy trucks away from trees and roots systems and that type of thing. Keep it away from habitat. Second thing is to obtain a floodplain development permit. They submitted that today. They are willing to submit the bond for post-closure work. They've got a year to complete the post-closure work. If they don't, we'll have a bond to that will address that. And then the last thing is planning staff wants to be contacted once they're completed, so they can go out and do a site review and check the site. So with that, planning staff is recommending approval. We are asking that the second item be approved. This conditional use permit with those four conditions, and that that allows us then to put it on the agenda for the April 20th for the second meeting, which they would be the body that would have the final decision. I'd be happy to answer your questions.
This doesn't really work this way, right?
No.
I think it's a great use of this spot. I mean, the conservation people ought to be really, really happy that it's going to be a conservation purpose after it's all done. You know, isn't it?
Well, the road spot is going to go to CRP, right? The road crops.
It's all a portion of it.
Yeah, so what about the southern lot?
I think row crops is
still
there. Sure. The owners are right here.
Yeah,
my
golf.
Yeah,
we're going to get out to funny on that to answer questions. We just direct questions at the staff right now, too.
Yep.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, the DOT construction, this is a lot of information, and I thought I'd download this all the packets so I can find it. So let me ask just a couple of questions.
Sure.
First, I've lived in this county all my life, but I barely know what road I live on. What's the result
here? Can I show you on a map?
Yeah, what's close to it?
It's an east west road.
So there's going to be an exit for this?
There's already a bridge. Extending, it's a road, 250 feet, an east-west road, so it's a bridge that goes over I-35.
It's a gravel road, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's a gravel road overpass.
Okay, so it's just replacing the overpass, there's nothing in there.
No, just a bridge right there.
Mm-hmm. And you think all the south part of the road very close to some river, correct?
I'm sorry, I missed the first part. What you
said? The south parcel is on the north and south
Skunk
River.
Yeah.
South.
It's south of the Skunk River. You can see it on the map. The Skunk River is right here. And
yes.
So this, the south parcel is right in here.
That south parcel, if you're going south on 35,
mm-hmm.
and you go past the gravel extraction at 3035,
yep.
as you go south, continue south, as you start heading up that ridge, right, there's that ridge of trees.
Yep.
It's that last bit right there.
Okay.
So it's where as you go up that ridge and the tree line meets the highway, that's the lot.
Also, too, Marvin, the City of Ames treatment plant is just southeast. The treatment plant's right here, so that's another good landmark.
Yeah.
So besides replacing the old pass on 250th and creating
That's a separate project, the 250th, and the flyover is updated. So all they're doing
is
two stops on lane.
Down the road.
I'm trying to give you the bigger picture of what's going on here.
You talked about that there's going to be fishing, hunting, whatever on this land. But the long-term plan is to have the same right of hand, correct?
Correct.
You're not supposed to have any conservation, anything at all, or anything.
Our department's not privy to any negotiations or discussions, but with this committal, if the plan is to keep it private, but that's not to say that it may not revert or there may not be some discussions in the future.
So in other words, they're essentially renting this land from the current owner to be able to extract this.
They need a compensation with the landowners to extract the dirt for
them. Kind of reasonable.
They're buying the dirt in their regional pond.
Yeah. But one pond, did you say?
Two
ponds. That's what I thought.
On each lot.
Yeah, that's what I thought. But you said something about row crops. That must be what it's currently.
Yeah, given your current land use.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a couple of questions. Could we see that off-row picture again?
Yeah.
It looks like it's... Oh, I see. It's just right outside. I was looking at the bigger... Right.
Yeah. And again, the red square is just something to kind of... I put that in there. That's not exactly where it's going to be, but just to kind of show you. And again, when the conservation staff started looking at it, they were concerned. They wanted to make sure that this wasn't going to be just removed. And it's not, it's going to be safe. It's not a part of the project.
Okay. And then the other question, just procedural. The floodplain application just came in today. So what's the order of events? Does the floodplain application approving body need us to vote on this first, or do we need to see what they say, or does it matter?
We put that in there as a condition because it's in the floodplain, it's required. Typically, those are reviewed by staff. Usually, review time is 2 to 5 business days. So we're probably going to have information or decisions with regard to these applications prior to going to the Board of Adjustment, because the Board of Adjustment will meet in 2 weeks.
Okay.
So I would think we would have some really good information prior to that meeting.
If you had any concerns from that application, perhaps you bring it back here.
We certainly could do that and also highlight those for Board of Adjustment also.
Okay. I just didn't know how it works.
Have you seen the floodplain?
Thank you,
Mike.
Have you seen the floodplain? I'm Ann Harder. I'm the floodplain manager for Story County.
Hey,
Brandon. Hi. I will not take any action on floodplain permit granting preliminary permit until the Board of Adjustment has approved conditional use permit.
Okay.
The land use has to be established first, and then I'll take action. They did submit the application, and it will sit there, and we'll do some cursory review, but
not.
It came in today. I have not.
And then since you removed it?
Okay,
I'm not. But I'm going to ask you, do you see any blatant problems?
I haven't. I would assume it's probably the very same materials that were submitted with conditional use permit. I haven't even opened up the file, to be perfectly honest.
There was like 57 documents that came with it.
Staff has recommended
approval
that the floodplain permit be granted as a condition of granting of the conditional use permit. So if we take your advice and the Board of Adjustment takes your advice, then that condition remains.
We're just asking that they submit the application. That's all
that
they should do.
Okay.
Submit the application.
So the order is not that.
Okay.
Thank you.
So the condition use permit has to be granted, and the floodplain permit has to be granted in order for the project to proceed.
Correct.
Any more questions, staff?
Just one.
You
said that there were some property owners, single family dwellings in the area, and also the Iowa Heritage Foundation on some land there. Have you gotten any feedback from either of those folks?
We sent notices to all the landowners within a quarter of a mile.
For
both parcels, that would have been included those. And we did not receive any comments.
Thank you.
No more questions for the staff, then we'd ask the applicant, whoever wants to represent the applicant, to step up to the podium, state your name and address for the record, and tell us if you'd like to
know. Is there a mic up there?
Adam Martin, Jamie Holland, I guess you pretty much went over everything that was kind of going on. Quite a lot of plans with the truck, material there, as well as the expansion for the future 3-lane project that I'll be speaking to. As of right now, this is from the dirt, there's no paving. Yeah, it's been put on top of many times. I don't believe. I'm sure it's been 5 years later. Yeah, we're going to be doing small things. Our contract is to create the 2 lanes through there. There is a bridge running the structure that is not part of our contract. And the bridge is one of the distinctive. We thought our bridge was that. So, I think it was that bridge.
Okay, thanks.
As long as we know we have you here, the property owner, would you like to speak first at all? Answer any questions or anything you want to say? Okay.
You good with the whole thing?
Pardon?
Are you good with the whole thing?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Then we will open the public hearing at 4:47. Are there any comments from the public?
I'm going to be honest and yes, he's good with it. I get anything.
Alright, on one of the clocks, no comments from the public, we'll close the public hearing. Commission discussion, motion?
Can we see those options again?
Yeah. I would move that we approve it per the staff recommendation.
Okay.
That'd be number one, right?
Two, number two.
Number two.
We have a motion from Monroe, second from Cable. Any discussion on the motion? We have a roll call vote, please. Young?
Yes.
Harwell?
Yes.
Murphy?
Smith?
Yes.
Cale?
Yes.
Miller?
Yes.
Miller, sorry.
Well, you had a recommendation for the government. Thank you very much.
You were late, Nancy. Well, I don't think
you're late then.
No.
Right.
No.
All right. The next item on the agenda is the C2C plan presentation. Jerry, we'll start with you and let you turn it over to the team folks. All you like.
Well, thank you. I have a lot to say. Chris and Chris are here to give you some background information. With regard to the comp plan, the Citizens Advisory Group has met, provided some awesome information. The project team has met for the final time, has gone through it with a fine-tooth comb, and we're at a point where we're ready to take it over to the Planning and Zoning Commission and anxious to hear what you have to say about it. And so tonight is just for review. There's no pressure. We definitely want your comments and input on anything from the beginning page to the last page. And the goal is to bring it back for a public hearing May 4th. It'll be a public hearing, and so that would be an action item. And then also in May, we don't know exactly what day, but it would be a review before the board of supervisors, and then in June, the hope is that they will approve the plan.
Jerry, that can I interrupt you a little bit? So just because I know we've been diving into discussion real fast after the presentation, is it appropriate for us to say if there are typos and adequate errors, things like that, that we should just direct them to you and you should focus on content tonight?
Yeah, bigger picture I think is good for tonight, and then any other issues that we see, please let us know, because we definitely want it to be clean.
I will just give you my left of copies afterwards, you get to review it maybe.
Did you read this word for word?
I read it all except for the amendment. So I got through this much of it.
Okay, great. Okay, there you go.
Well, this is ready to bring up the presentation. Go ahead and then So, go over a little bit, the jury actually covered. We'll go over the draft document. And I think I have it set up so we kind of talk about the chapter and then I'll get any context if you guys want on that. We'll go to the next chapter, we'll do it all again. Schedule-wise, started last March, and this year we are now in April, planning to review the adoption. This year, we're going to have a work session, and then we'll look to have you guys review it and determine and make a recommendation to the board supervisors. And on May 14th, they will then have a work session on the same sort of thing. We'll go through some of the things that they're in, their ideas. And then ask for them to consider adoption either probably year or two, kind of depending on what their schedule looks like and how much time they want to We do still have opportunities for people, including those who are watching, or those who have to provide, this would be one where they provide some input. Obviously, the public hearing and the next meeting would be the opportunity for them to provide some input. Kind of having both staff available, controls available, because the website up and going and all the chapters have been updated on there as of this morning. The versions that were on there previously were from the middle of March, so there are a few changes that I'll go over it and just to mention, but they are fairly consistent with what was on earlier. Of course, you're planning your meeting today and then we're supposed to meet as well. So, yep, we're ready to go. So, we're Grant chapters, here's the PCC plans that are located in the front and top. Grant chapters will be outlined in our old banner, but there's chapter one, the introduction. The basic background of the plan is an overview of why it was started, outline how it's been developed, and go through the table of contents, and we'll put the next one here. The notable changes since December of 2015, which is kind of the last time we had a checkup between that in terms of reading going, is that we've added information about why the project was initiated and how it was initiated. We've updated project milestones to reflect slight changes in the schedule. Again, we're on schedule with what was determined last month when we started this, that we were finished this up in June, and we're still on the track for that. So, I heard most of that for the project team to come in on and tell me it's great. We go through the stuff and that people are doing it also. So, thank everyone online and on the internet. We revised the visual graphic. So, do you guys want to talk about content on the end, or do you want to talk about content at chapter 1 now?
Let's go chapter by chapter and see how we're doing.
Okay, that works for me. So, again, any small advertising back in the secondary meetings done, we've gone through a lot of those, but there's always stuff that somebody else reads or leaders, or I read it 7 times, and that's uniformly the same. So, but content wise, let's talk about that. What changes and questions do that now?
I have a question on page 1-2. There's a section of the CDC plan maintenance. It says in there that it can and should be amended from time to time if conditions warrant, and that plan value is dependent upon frequent use and occasional updates. So my question is, I don't know if it's for you or for us, but what is the plan? So in the bottom left-hand paragraph, it doesn't prescribe, and that's, I think, for us to prescribe, like, when we adopt this, how does it stay relevant? How does it stay fresh and updated?
Is there no schedule for 5 years?
Right. It needs to be reviewed semi-annually or annually or, you know, whatever that is.
I think partially we answer that, I think, just based on the stuff that we've had in the community. The county after this is adopted is going to pick up the planning development department and the name I'm sure as well is going to pick up as well. It is actually going to go to work with that on the implementation of the plan. My guess is that will be another section of it, but the county is going to take the information out of here and strategic planning will be guys already done and work into that implementation piece. When we do a full plan and we go through and we do the implementation, we usually talk about that exact issue. In that part, in that we recommend that it would be at least annual, biannual would be great, and that prior to budgeting, it would be. And one of the reasons for that is so that if there are priorities for shift, maybe the program is, you know, 2 months from when the budget cycle kind of starts and all that stuff, just like capital funding planning, the department has to look at it and say, okay, here's the issues I have with it, and we need to, you know, we prioritize this, or yeah, we thought these three things off, like two or three things off that, and then it goes to, you know, four supervisors and neighbors and through this kind of apple and that sort of thing. But we would recommend that at least on an annual basis, we look at the draft them, and at that time, if there are things that aren't working that need to be amended or situations have changed, then we can come up with another, you know, goal or group strategy for the particular item.
that implementation session you mentioned, is that something that we act on as a part of the official plan, or is that more like a work program the staff does administratively when you all approve?
That is a great question for staff, because I don't know if that we haven't hired that out as opposed to not be able to afford that.
Wow.
There's not an implementation section in here.
That's not part of your current contract, right?
Okay. So it then falls there.
Oh, man.
We can help with that.
Right, the only one on the line.
And
Chris, are you, I don't understand who did what. Chris, you're a consultant?
Who are you, Chris?
Yeah, if you go to c2cplan.com,
yeah.
All that information is still on there, correct?
Yeah, all the
there's recording, so somebody could go there and listen?
No, not from the first meeting, where we did one here too, where we have a paywall.
Right.
We didn't record the Facebook combo, we just did the telephone call and all that. Now, the online open house that we did, when we did nothing with the open house we had in January and February, that information is still out there. I haven't gotten any input on it for a long time, but
as of today, the link for online open house page, and that's where the recording mechanism just came, it went to work. But I think it went through the Safari content.
I will check on that, but it was
right.
Was still up there. In fact, there's a full presentation on the kind of user page. That you can watch the first presentation we did in June.
The second go around, correct?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The second series of open houses.
I want to ask you a question about what is our P&Z Commission's role? What is it that we are approving or not?
Okay. Can I clarify that? We're not tonight. We're not approving anything.
No,
but eventually. But we will make a recommendation to adopt this plan in a final form to the Board of Supervisors.
Okay. Will it be like any of the other things that will be presented for convention?
I think if we're doing our job, we should have something we can recommend without condition.
Yeah.
to the Board of Supervisors. And this will replace the land use framework that we used before to help guide our decision.
Very county development plan.
That's interesting. Now, in terms of updates and revisions, can you give me an example, this probably in, that, give me an example as to when you would foresee the need for a revision?
Any kind of use thing that we're not really
seeing by now. We have a designated land use between Ames and Nevada, and Ames Fringe adopts changes in that effect that we have to hear on that.
That gets to what Leanne was talking about. So all the department heads are going to sit down and talk about who's going to be responsible for implementing what sections or what chapters of this comp plan. So there might be some overlap where maybe planning and development will work with outreach, or planning and development might work with conservation and including certain parts of it.
So in other words, this is expanding our role.
We
Because right now, all we deal with is unincorporated data.
I don't know that it's expanding our role so much as it's giving us a better framework on how we make decisions.
If we get a zoning petition, and we're going to look at the development regulations, and we're going to look at the comp plan, and so if that's something, both of those things would come to you, we would be looking at how the request impacts the development regulations as well as our comprehensive planning. So both documents would be visible.
That's really helpful. One of my questions about this has been how authoritative it is. I understand the county ordinances are the authority and you know, sort of formal guide that we that should guide us. This is a sort of a guide alongside those things, but not authoritative in terms of dictating. And then my next question is, the City of Ames also has a land use policy plan that goes into many of the same areas and sections, demographics and conservation and land and so on, transportation. How does the zoning plan, or how was that, this is probably not a question for today, but I'm wondering, how does that, you know, how does that work vis-a-vis this plan? I know the City of Ames is a big driver for what the county does, understandably and appropriately, in a lot of ways. When they update their plan, what happens on the county side and vice versa, and do they, how well, you know, are they supposed to mesh? Hopefully they should mesh pretty well. What's the mechanism for that all to happen as time rolls on?
So this plan actually refers in that Green Bridge area, which is also in because the county is a part of it, we basically said it's part of this plan. There's no sense in having overlying regulations or guidelines that overlap. We basically just, if you look at the future land use map that we proposed as part of this plan,
it incorporates the prior
reference.
I see that. I'm talking about their written out plan, where they go through the history of their, you know, jurisdiction and all the changes and rationales and what they think is appropriate and not appropriate, goals and objectives. They've written all of that out. It's, you know, five chapters.
When was it updated?
It's a little out of date. You know, I mean, it refers to a couple of changes for the future that have apparently already been made in terms of growth, let's say.
Sure.
But, like, this is sort of an overarching question of how are those expected to work against each other or with each other? Is there a plan for that in terms of implementation and updates, for instance?
No, in terms of that, and especially talking about how this plan will be implemented, certainly has very little effect on how land use decisions are made within the city. They obviously make them on their own, they're going to follow their own guidelines and plans. This is more of the unincorporated areas in that.
Now, as they move into those with their fringe plans, it could affect us. It could go the other way, is my question. So it's just a general question, and I didn't know if there was a real intentional effort to look to their plan and objectives and goals during this process or not. And will it just sort of happen case by case as things occur, that kind of expectation?
Thank you. Yeah, you know, but I think there's a lot of questions there,
yeah.
And I think most of them are related to the implementation, which is not outlined as part of this plan, right?
Yeah.
So
okay.
How we take this guidance and how we use it has yet to be determined. Right, so how frequently we meet, how frequently we review, or how we coordinate with the municipalities in the county is not defined. There's recommendations and there's ideas and things that need, you know, or should happen, but how we make it happen, Leon's going to be in charge of. But the other part of it is that all of those municipalities and other organizations have met regularly, so I was representative from this group to that outreach group. So we met regularly throughout this process with school districts and cities and DOT, and everybody came together and discussed those things. So the city of Ames brought in their direction, and everybody's direction was baked into, their input was provided into this plan. So it did give us also a lot of gaps and a lot of input on things that, as we move forward with implementation of, wouldn't it be great if, you know, and so there's a lot of those types of ideas that are built in here that are going to be baked into then the implementation plan.
Yeah, because that's very helpful. And the Beta has its own plan. Gilbert does.
Everybody does. And like with Ames, the fringe, their plan is that outline that is set, right? So it's, they can go out this far as of, you know, the city limits as of 2006. And so it's all understood and it's all planned accordingly, and we're going to be here all night.
For the most part, all the other cities is pretty well fixed also.
Correct, and so this is specifically addressing when we're talking about land use and incorporated.
Any other specific questions about content of the introduction? Chapter. Okay, let's go ahead and tackle the next chapter, please.
Moving on to chapter 2, carrying so this is a public input chapter. It covers all of the public engagement input that we've gone after as part of the planning process, what could go up in the meetings that we have, the locations that we're spread around, and the topics that we're about. We've got a lot of the feedback from the meeting that we did. So, we want to go ahead to the next one, Jerry. Since December of 2015, we added feedback to the open house, which we had in January and one in February. So all of the boards that we had out that people fired up at their goals, as well as the future of the planning staff and the proposed sales network staff. And we have comments on all of those, including the chapter. We also had a summary of the survey results, the survey and the new survey that went out earlier as well, last year, I'm sorry. Kind of a summarization of those. Now, those are completely open to open appendix B in a full, unfiltered format. So, these are the kind of results. Very similar to a presentation that I think the citizens have both saw in there. Kind of broke down and said, this question about, you know, where you live and what you, the quality of life, here were some of the topics that came out of there. So, just a general summarization
of those. Sure, question?
Did everybody else not get appendix B?
I
didn't either.
Well, so appendix B is 100 and.
That's a long line.
You're
not the only one.
I
think this chapter is really great, and I think it does a fantastic job of summarizing public input. With all the infographics, nobody's going to read that in key because this is really good. But I think that you're not doing it justice if you can't find a way to avoid truncating all the survey questions.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You have the.
Yeah.
And you'll see the bar
graphs that are the same.
And all the questions are. All are truncated.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's pretty good stuff not to have that.
I agree. Yeah.
And
so that's the only downfall of using survey monkeys that automatically maintain, but if we have long
answers. Yeah. I don't know how to do it, you know, right on
you. No, I'll take it into design, I'll put a box over it, I'll just type off the whole thing, and it'll work.
And then I don't know if this is a content issue or if this is a minor course issue that I should address with Jerry, but there's a couple of these hard parts that the legend got dropped off of them, and they're kind of important. So 2-26, the bottom bar chart, losses, legend,
So on page 2-2, says the project website, and it gives them a description about the information that's out there and things. Is that website, is the plan for that to be maintained and also regularly updated? I mean, is that...
What are you writing in for?
So 2-2.
Okay.
So the second page. On the right-hand side, the first bold paragraph is project website.
It will not be kept open as a website. I mean, the domain is purchased on an annual basis, so I mean, it will be open through the end of the year, but yeah, it will disappear after that, and this document will go on to the certified on-site website as the contract.
Okay. So there's a lot of information that we keep referencing that's out there that's good for historical information that's going to, if all that we need from the county's perspective is contained in this plan and then this is available online kind of as is out there now, then great, but
is there a cloud that would fit?
Well, with the information that's on the website, that's clearly stable and thing, and all the presentations and that kind of stuff. And
right.
We can do that anyway as part of a whole lot of projects. We would be able to transfer the GIS policies and all that kind of stuff, and we're probably able to get it by the county.
I'm just mentioning that because in that paragraph it talks about, you know, this aspect of communication and participation strategy is important for transparency and sharing the information with stakeholders. So you can always reference back if somebody has a question about why this or why that. We can always tie it back to the actual complete survey results or the actual meeting minutes or, you know, whatever that you have available.
Did you
fit
the county website?
Well, that remains
not the raw data.
Yeah,
it's just the end product,
the plan,
right?
The finished product.
I support that in keeping the raw data available to someone needs it. Too.
Even if there's an archive.
Internally at the county.
Other questions?
Yeah. Just got one. I have a question for you guys. See what your expertise would say about this, but one of my main issues is accessory dwelling. And I noticed that, and I'm looking at the chart of 224, that over 50% when asked about what people think about accessory dwelling, over 50% weren't sure. But yet, elsewhere in the public input, there's also been what about affordable housing in Story County. I wonder what you chalk that up to. They're not sure. Is it just not understanding what accessory dwelling is?
Yes, I think we actually talked about that at some point. I think we were supposed to see you over the time to see one of the capital funds, but that definitely is an educational issue. If you might think that, okay, because when people think of accessory structure, they're thinking of Omar, they're thinking that. They're not immediately going to do a very fine. I think we need to use that term when we have to take out because there are so many people who are like, well, it's just what's going on. Yeah, I think that's an indication
of the discussion
part of the
issue. Yeah, you're just going to have to get
excited and start putting them out. Okay, other questions or comments on that chapter? All right, on to the next.
Okay, chapter 3 is the non-chapter elements of comprehensive planning that are outlined by the Iowa Smart Planning Law that we developed. So these are all the other ones. And first comes with additional stuff and started this process. We did it actually and broke out agricultural resources from natural resources. And the natural resources chapter is chapter 4 is all about this. But we have agricultural resources, team facilities, colleges, communication colleges, safety, emergency, and special resources, infrastructure, and intergovernmental coordination. These are the goals, objectives, and strategies that will be moved into the implementation section and provide guidelines for both elements. So, in the realm of how a comp plan or how your existing plan is designed in a nutshell, some of them will be loading requests, and some of them will be involved in requests of some type. And you guys will do it based on the future land use plan, the most future land use plan set for this particular part of the that sort of thing. And the other part that's involved, we talked about how the traffic works and that kind of thing. The idea of having a comprehensive plan is that you look at all of these other issues when that development comes through. And so you go through and say, okay, so we have an effect on health. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't go on until the next time to scrap it off. But if it does, you know, to the goals and strategies and the objectives that we have in this section, do they support this type of development? Or, you know, or is there a way that we can ask for some type of a special amendment or something, or condition on that, based on these goals? And these goals can be directly out of the meeting working group and a few other deals and others that we have. Primarily, what we have to be making the process for is that these are some of the issues we have in order to have it. These are some of the opportunities we can do. There's a mix of all of those that are outlined in Chapter 2, but in Chapter 3, and then Chapter 4, Chapter 5, Chapter 6, and Chapter 7. The one thing is that the chapter of the law cannot have the information in terms of the fact that the government is already in the guidelines of the government. But the other is that we're looking at land use decisions and properties. The annual work position and value change was a little more concise and it was great. We changed all policies and strategies. We had the policies before, decided to just go with strategies, and did that in 4, 5, 6, and 7 as well. And then we added some goals that were provided by the county to also look at the
Just quickly on policies and strategies, because I downloaded your PDF before they were changed today. No, it's okay. I noticed that you changed the wording, but the definition stayed the same, right?
And I kind of been looking at that, and it didn't come up in our project meeting, but it is one of the things where I kept looking at whether it should be changed or not, but I think it's okay that it would because it is a guideline. And we all understand that process. We use it as a guideline. Our subdivision regulations are so important. Of the things that we use to actually regulate land. This is a guide, so I think it's okay to leave them as somewhat forceful. They're triangle policies, but we got directions that if we want to talk about these strategies and use the implementation process to decide what policies we're going to move forward when we can.
And that is true about the rationale. But I
It sounds pretty,
Document, but I just thought I'd mention now. So whenever we refer to the term agricultural operations, we should protect them. So that happens on the middle of 3.8 and then the middle of 3.9 supports sustainable farming operations. It sounds a little bit like we're protecting specific business units, like we're protecting a specific farm operation.
Sure.
I wonder like you could just substitute practices, especially on page 39, to support sustainable funding practices rather than
operations.
We should be out there making sure that John Smith Farm is continuing to be successful.
Sure. I don't have an issue with that.
That's not
the
problem.
The practices talks about things like, you know, just, this is about land itself, practicing like there are buffer strips and stuff like that. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Practices and methods.
Yeah. You change this on 3 on old 3 on 3.9.
We have operations under 1.2 also there.
But supporting the method does not mean supporting one. The existence of the funding upon which the practice can be done. I didn't say we wanted to do.
Yes, but in almost every instance where we talk about protecting a farm operation or practice, we have in the same breath, in the same paragraph, already said protecting the farm land.
Okay.
Yeah, you're thinking if you even change this in 1.2, you're saying who's involved in the process of work to protect agricultural operations and land. You say agricultural practices and land, you're still saying let's preserve agricultural land, but you're talking about the practices and land.
You need to be able to do the work.
Right, now this is not a specific like cost or, you
know. In fact, the goal 3 does say preserve farmland, and then the objective for accomplishing that is. Mm-hmm. I think it makes sense to change it to something like practice or method. So I think it's
okay.
Given that AR 3.2, where are
you?
3.1.
Yeah.
The word operation suggests specific, as you know,
business.
Right. Is not intended.
So does 1.2 stay then? Or are we changing that one also?
I'm going to change 1.2 from agricultural operations to agricultural practices, and I'm going to change 3.1
and next
change
to sustainable
farming.
I don't know if we necessarily have to work out the exact wording here. I think you guys can do that. I'm just saying generally, I think also in the sessions that are more specifically about agricultural resources and Story County and land use and that sort of thing, you can read either way. If you're out there for making sure that existing farms are successful versus making sure the farms have an opportunity to be successful.
Why is that part of what we do? I mean, it's protecting the land from any kind of industrialization, I can understand, but in terms of farming practices, I mean, that, to me, that's a big, we should go out there and dictate what kind of fertilizer they put on the lawn. And, if, you know, if our goal has always been, hey, this has been A1 zoning for a cuckoo years, and they let us know how long, and looking at the industrialization or the subdivision that wants to go in there and make the determination based upon flood land and the value of the land, Lisa or whatever it's called, and so on. But that's as far as it goes in terms of P&D.
Yeah, you misinterpreted me. Choose whatever word you like. What I want to say, we need to say that we need to protect the ability to get in there with a combine and do the work of farming. Or we need to be able to get our grain to market without having to deal with the road level of traffic. Not necessarily dictate exactly what the methods are. Just the practice of farming that we protected, not a paper business unit.
I would suggest just drop the word operations off the end of AR 3.1 and just go to support sustainable farming.
I agree.
It's just the word.
Or be an actual word. You have to figure out that.
Well, my understanding of the meaning and where we're coming from. We want to preserve the quantity of the amount of farmland that's available. And that's current amount, we want to make sure that there's farmland available in
the county. Yeah, and there's different parts of the comp plan that talks about how many acres.
Yeah,
you know. Is it 90% is prime agricultural farm ground? So, I mean, that's something that's addressed. I don't know if it's specifically addressed in this area, but it's set out in other areas as being very important and part of the mission.
It's vital to preserve
I want to make sure we take a look at guidelines for something and not get down and read about because there will be different people coming up to me and there's stuff that's going to happen next month that no one can predict it. So, talk about their debt for, you know, pre application and talk about what they want to do. There's going to be supervisors turnover in, you know, years and that sort of thing. We kind of want this a whole lot last that and not get blown away as a review. So it's a tough balance when you have that plan behind like saying nothing and being moving to do things and being like, hey, we want to do this, it's fantastic, and they will be able to do anything. And then getting so specific that people just don't bother looking at it anymore. I think the change that we make, like I said, to taking out operations, I think that ability being an accent we want to support them. I think somebody sitting in those positions, even if somebody else sitting there 4 years from now making a decision on how these guidelines are going to shape the county, to look at objective data at 3.1 and say, does this proposal that's going to impact the property within 2 miles of it, does this support the same market? Or does it impact the same market? And if it impacts the same market, what conditions can we look at, or what mitigation can we look at? At that point in time, if the information doesn't have that to possibly allow the loans that loan to continue, but also to support the same market. That's the idea of how it could be used 3 years from now, 2 years from now, next month, 5 years from now. So I hope I'm not talking about issues and sometimes I can do that, but I don't want to get too.
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from, but see, I don't even like the word sustainable in there. I think that's too restrictive, sustainable. What is sustainable? You see what I mean?
It is not that restrictive, so I'm going to talk about that. So somebody might think, oh, that's great. That's totally great. Like, it has to be sustainable and that's zero energy model. Somebody else might take that and say, well, that needs to be economically feasible. That needs to be a viable economic concept that isn't going to, you know, follow from today, you know, but it's all going to flow from today. So we're really subjective in that sense, and that's kind of the idea behind how some of this works is.
I appreciate that. At the same time, you've got 7 people, and we're not always going to be the same body sitting here. I am sure he's going to be here forever. But it's not going to be the same people looking at these words and going.
But these are getting translated into implementation.
Okay.
Right. I think the point is made that we need to make sure that it conveys the intention, and then when we start talking about implementation, we can have this discussion about how we do it.
Yeah. Because you know me, I like less restrictive than more restrictive. I don't like reducing our liberty.
And
people
are saying that
we'll get out of the way. Go
ahead. So another comment on 3.9 is not box strategy. Where it talks in the first strategy about new development in areas away from productive agricultural land, but then in the second strategy it talks about clustering residential development on smaller parcels to provide some viable alternative to converting large parcels. And it talks about density-based zoning. So, don't those two things conflict with each other? Or, do you see what I'm saying?
They could, they also could not. It kind of depends upon, in my opinion, it sort of depends on the project as a whole. Like, there might be an opportunity to do both, especially along with an area that has, you know, some of the slopes or something like that, or a bad one, you know, like, an area that is has cluster the development around that area that isn't really good for farming. I think that's just one power to play out.
but we certainly can rework. And that's the purpose of why we're meeting with them. I don't want to think like, if you want to make changes, we don't have any more projects we need to schedule at this point. It's kind of, you guys run a workshop, and then it's going to come back to you with May, or whatever changes come out of, between now and then it goes forward from there. So I want to make it. If there are some things that we need to invest in on any of this stuff, I want to go ahead and do it all. And this is your guys, because I mean, obviously, you can manage the name, I'm not, but this is a good time to talk about.
No, he got, I just looked up to that point. He got me.
But
One thing that I, another thing I noticed later on too, that we talked about, the open, low density character of rural parts of Story County, but then you also in other references, other places made reference to density based clustering. And I'm not sure that we can count on all of us having a good interpretation of clustering means.
And
you kind of
along the same level, especially
level,
with a little bit of education piece.
Right. So overall density over a large parcel is low.
Right.
But you cluster it into one little part of that parcel, and
right. So basically, if you could have the same number of loans and in a large parcel, but put them on a footprint where everybody doesn't have
conservation
to their yard. Especially, in most areas of the county, the practice, and when you look at who's out of the process, the county is doing a good job of preserving farms in the unincorporated areas, and not, there isn't a lot of development really out of the county, and, 5 acre lots here, 10 acre lots here, and subdivision for that. That covers most of the dense, urban, what we would consider urban development happens in they annex land, they provide services, and from the beginning, people said we want that to continue. But we haven't changed much of that here. What we have allowed is there are some areas that are probably not very important that the county would like to provide a market for people that are seeking that type of housing. And if we can direct that towards areas where doesn't impact the kind of agricultural and the cultural heritage of the county.
Yes, that's the idea. So all I'm saying is that thematically there's a couple of places in the draft where we talk about clustering and density based zoning, and right after we talk about low density open agricultural fields.
Sure.
And I just think that in the future, when we have to interpret those statements, make decisions, we just want to make sure that there's not
And my concern is the same as yours, it's the future.
Right,
how is it going to be interpreted, and how would we therefore get into this?
Yeah.
That's my concern.
Sorry.
But we've also determined that that's also part of the implementation. Am I correct or not?
How we interpret it, and then what we do with that interpretation is the implementation.
Yeah.
More questions, comments on this chapter?
Okay, I have one more question.
Okay,
sorry. 318, under strategies. In the very first point, encourage utilities to decide and design to minimize impact and on adjacent users and to minimize the amount of default. What's the hope for minimizing the number of uses, putting on land in what's the benefit of?
Keep the footprint to a minimum so that land can be used for something other than
specific.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that fair enough? Is that
yeah?
And
and I don't keep them from that. Yeah. I think we're going to the last one. So, that's the first thing.
I think with regard to our development regulations, I think like with this, residential commercial developments, they can put them like either on the side or the rear. So maybe this is maybe being more specific to say in the front or the rear only or something. That would be an implementation.
Sure. Considering whether we require more internet
there. Yeah, possibly.
Throughout this section, there are a lot of references to, and this probably falls under implementation, creating a task force, a groundwater task force, investigate creating a waterway reserve program. There's a lot of things to do. And my general question is, and maybe you don't know the answer, because that's under implementation, but who's going to do that? Is that going to be a public task force? Will it be a staff task force? Will it be county conservation? Is there any way to clarify that a little better throughout this section? Those were the questions that kept coming up when I was reading it. Just wondering, and even thinking to myself, gee, that might be fun to participate in. Well, I'm not mapping the flora and fauna of Story County. I would love to help do that. Seriously. I'm a biologist. So, I was intrigued, but also confused by how, and I guess that's probably under implementation, maybe. Right. But just reading it, I had a lot of questions come up that way.
Well, let me give you kind of a big picture on this one. And I think there's this chapter we need from what all the other chapters has been much more focused on living by personal conservation. This was written with most of the American input, how we need to
It is great. I mean, the whole thing is, let me just throw that in. I don't mean to be too critical. I think this is a wonderful document and guide for the county. Yeah. And this session in particular was really
I had one at the
on the last page, so 4-21, it talks about the importance of the water. So the potable water availability and quality are important, and it goes on. Half of our water supply comes from aquifers and channels, and around channels. It made me think about, there's nothing in here, and I don't remember reading anything in here, about recommendations about, or ideas about, how do we protect the 50% water supply with the implementation of the backing pipeline. Right, we're going to have an oil pipeline coming right through the middle of our county, and if most of the water is underground instead of this oil pipeline, how do we... Maybe the how-to is the wrong question, because that's really an implementation question, but
yeah.
What do we consider?
Yeah. This is not specifically related to water quality information on the pipeline, but that's kind of a big question of the question that comes from our project and this one. One of the thoughts is that the community is out of the country, that is something that's going to be able to create the local regulations.
Right,
and so I think from the one thing from this is a little bit of a hand off the boat, but we have to rely on it as far as what the state is saying. I'm trying to think about the lessons you might be able to do is something about safe distances from the building on that kind of actual schedule of construction.
I don't have any ideas about specific changes. I just thought as I was reading it, highlighted to me that we have this project that is entirely out of our scope and control, but at the same time, it could have an enormous impact throughout that and. If we need to address it or bring it up, or I don't know.
Well, one thing that
is a question.
They were concerned that don't use the robots, making sure that they have to be responsible, and I suppose it's kind of nuanced, if there's one thing that we should add, but maybe that's something that is a
that's a very specific instance for a similar plan, but
that's going to be the longest one here.
The plan is specifically through, in this iteration through 2036. So mentioning a single project, even if it's a very long.
Other issues that we should consider the planning and zoning commission, and we should consider in our land use policy, of things that if the pipeline is going to be in the ground, we better not be considering a section near it. Allowing you to bring what to it?
What did you say? I didn't hear the word.
Putting things near it.
Okay.
Yeah. Are there things you should say should be at least this way, far away from if that is true all pipeline and lawn?
Yeah.
I think that's a dumb issue for our group.
So I wonder if you can add a few sections or a couple of items related to that. I know that in a fully urbanized area, you generally can make some comments about, things you built for a transmission or the overhead from the, yeah, so there's a little more comments in the ownership.
So maybe a section about, or pepper it through there somehow, but the idea of major state sponsored projects outside of the county that requires, you know, triggers a reevaluation for, you know, because maybe we do change land use designation to follow that path so that, you know, but that would be an evaluation that we need to occur. Or maybe there's a change to the railroad, or maybe there's, you know, there could be, you know, I don't want to plan for any particular incident, the backing pipeline that came to mind, but use those types of things outside the county control as a trigger point.
Now the IED has administrative rules about several issues, and I wonder if those might be worth citing so we know them.
DOT can trigger, Union Pacific can trigger, the state can trigger, you know, there's all these kinds of things.
Isn't that part of the implementation as opposed to this?
It would definitely be part of the implementation, but there's not a recommendation in here for those types of things. In the event that the state does this, or the DOT does this, or Union Pacific does this, or something, you know, natural disaster or whatever might trigger reevaluation of things. And the water is what brought it up, but. Right.
So we'll come up with a few things. What we're just debating on is, you know, what we look at in chapter 3 or chapter 4.
Okay.
Just a quick other comment about water, which is that I didn't see wastewater addressed anywhere. And I don't know where it belongs, but.
We talk about insurance, you know, we talk about utilities, but I was just looking at that sense that ensure the public and private utilities can start to maintain according to federal government standards. We have some goals and objectives in there that talk about, as you know, the kind of big picture and things like that, but the regulatory authority for those either is at the county, which we can, I think, we can have.
Yeah, it sounds, you know, I'm in the
fourth hand.
I'm really
thinking about
the
entire
subject of the act and on a regular basis, and a new pressure of the system on the non-constructed and inspected for the state and county regulations.
Right.
That's about as much as you can do with that, because those regulations change a little bit. If you just remember who's actually putting it, hopefully, when it comes to the point of somebody coming in and asking for a subdivision, you know, they're looking at a subdivision, that's when you guys look at the subdivision regulations and, you know, the sanitary code and that sort of thing, which may not be on the time. But what this is saying, you know, what you're asking me to do is say, well, in our comprehensive plan, it says that one of our strategies to support practices that ensure utility infrastructure protects public health. Is make sure the traffic systems are done the right way and meet the right way.
Yeah, exactly. I think maybe on page 421 under water, would it be worth mentioning wastewater as a factor in the protection of water quality? And again, harking back to the city of Ames, their policy plan does talk extensively about that because they talk a lot about the aquifer and the effective, you know, place on that.
And the aquifer issue came up in our citizens' task force, and I know that there's a map in there, and I think there's a where it's really being known that it's not permanent, the county doesn't permit that stuff. So we could put something in that, you know, we could support that it's done the right way,
yeah,
and that about as good as we can do it, so it'd be. And not over
Did you see, Carla, under 410, under that paragraph for water quality, wastewater is mentioned there? 4-10, water quality. Okay. To work with partner agencies, water quality, watershed.
So that makes sense. And I mean, I know it's, you know, it's addressed in ordinance, it's pretty you know, they're in charge of their urban fringe. We're sort of deferring to them on that. Maybe it doesn't matter for the county.
I-15 is the rural village, where it does talk about the rural villages.
Are you talking about?
Yeah.
5-15, yeah.
Right. And Ames does have a type of development that they call a village, and then another one they call suburban. So maybe those two, like the intersection of those two sets, the null set, because they're just talking about development with an annex land problem.
Yeah, because we're not going to have, in unincorporated land, we're not going to have urban development, right? Because there's minimum lot size requirements and things for the rural residential area, which right. are the pages before that. So
I don't think it's a big thing. I'm really confused in a different way than what you're saying.
Yeah, I think so too.
The issue is here, because this is like the small towns are already
existing.
Right. Like, we're going to have development and make it look like a village.
Exactly.
And that's always within their.
It's multi-use.
Always within their, what do you call it? Yeah, their jurisdiction. So, this doesn't necessarily have to line up or even reference that.
The direction that we've gotten, if I'm receiving hearing you correctly, is we wouldn't address that statement because the direction we've gotten in this plan is that suburban development or village development as an means of defining their village development.
Yeah.
We don't want that in county here.
Got
it. Has to be in a city where it can be serviced by municipal utilities, water, sewer, stormwater, roads, all that kind of stuff. Which is good, both of those developments are vital rights, they're both going to happen, they're both going to continue to happen.
Right.
But Story County, the direction we've gotten to this process is that needs to happen in a city.
Right.
And it's by a city, serviced by a city, not by the county.
Specifically in fringe areas, right?
Got it.
Where it would come to us would be if that development was looking to happen in a fringe area, and like Ames Urban Fringe Plan, we want to do some development there, and then that would require, because it's in the fringe future use, it would require us and Ames and Gilbert to approve.
Got it. And then urban expansion area, it wasn't clear on that one exactly.
So that is
kind of along the same lines of how does that work with, you know,
that is, those are areas where when as part of this process we need to review existing comprehensive plans, future land use plans for municipalities in the program. Because when they grow, if they grow outside their terminology for their chance, right? A lot of them have comprehensive plans. Now, or they're currently in the process of updating those, or they have growth plans. As part of this process, Jerry and Ryan and Drew can all get to a few of the cities that are growing. And then that's referenced in Appendix C too, kind of their conversation. That urban expansion area is the area that those cities said, we have growth plans to go into this area. So we designated those in this plan. Just identifying them, they're still unincorporated at this time. It's not like there's no color in it. Certainly, we have regulatory authority over what happens in those areas.
So it's like the urban fringe of Ames. It's not, I mean, sort of.
It's
the same idea, but they have a little more control.
There's no plans involved other than this one, what really happens.
Okay.
Whereas in the urban fringe in that area, if somebody comes into a development in that area, Story County and Ames both review it based on the framework that was outlined in the
mm-hmm. Okay, so
it's a generic term too. It could mean it's a generic term. It could mean residential development is proposed in a certain part, or commercial, industrial. So, and then you have to kind of look at the specifics for each community to figure out what it is that you know what they're.
Ideally, those would be annexed. So, and along those lines, you have to show in blue as urban expansion. It should be just as you're kind of looking at 20 years from now and the big picture. Those are the cities that said at this point in time we want to go into areas, so we kind of might as well acknowledge that and put it into this plan so that it comes into the conversation if something were to proposed subdivision or talk about a rezoning of the area.
Thank you.
On 5-5, land use goal 8, this should be a typo or maybe a comment. And enhance collaboration conflict between.
Where are you at, man?
5-5, land use goal 8.
Okay.
The next gray box.
Okay.
Either reduce conflict or enhance collaboration, but yeah. Not.
Right.
Yeah.
Take out the word conflict.
All of them are older grounds and give it.
Yeah, the copy and paste didn't work well.
Since these sort of things tend to be us just pointing out all the problems, I'd like to say that the zoning compatibility matrix, I think, is really a useful tool. So we can refer back to the plan once we think we know it all, Then 5-9, the second area, agricultural conservation area, there's that farming operation. There again, I think you just say farm.
Yeah.
And then below that, a couple paragraphs in the principal 2. So I think this is a really important paragraph, even though it's small, and I want to make sure that we get it right. So continue to work toward strategies that promote alternative agricultural methods. I would much prefer to say accommodate. I don't know that we need to be promoting anything in particular, but I don't want innovation or things that are not conventional to be squashed just because you set up a regulatory framework.
Yeah, I agree.
Principle three, continue to work towards strategies that accommodate alternative agricultural methods.
And I would say maybe even accommodate small scale and alternative agricultural methods. That work in harmony with, I don't like the word commercial because it implies that only big operations are commercial, that they're the only serious operations. All farms are commercial. So I don't know if the term instead of commercial should be conventional, industrial is kind of cynical, but kind of accurate, contemporary.
Maybe you just eliminate it, work in harmony with large-scale operations.
How about just working in harmony with existing operations?
Well, existing small and alternative. I think that's much the only problem I have with it, be not commercial. And then I would go so far as to add a phrase to the very end of that sentence to promote diversity of farm types.
Encourage. How do we promote?
Just encourage.
I agree.
You say you didn't like the word promote.
Yeah, I didn't. Well, I like promoting the diversity. I don't like promoting a certain one. Okay. Yeah.
Maybe the phrase is even
unimportant. I just think that that paragraph basically attempts to say that a variety of different farm types is a good thing.
Yeah, it is.
So,
you just say toward a diversity.
Yeah. It's getting scale,
We get what we want.
We are going to be smaller.
And all of this is scale. And a healthy agricultural economy has a variety of farm types, not just one type.
If somebody wanted to, say, buy a house and have like a 5-acre farm or Aaron's here every day.
Just so you know, a few years ago, the county supervisors did consider allowing 20 acre farms rather than 36 in A1, and we didn't have that debate then.
Yes, they did.
I can't find it.
Well, they
might
have.
They are the residential.
It's still 36, though.
It's big.
I am going to be really lucky. You can do what? Very
interesting. They
want the agricultural
building for the farm. This is for a non-farm building.
So someone works in the
There's supposed to be an existing house, though, right? So, to allow another one.
What did you get allow? What?
To allow an additional house. There has to be an existing one since 77. Is that
no,
a farmstead? That's the dwelling.
And they've done that recently.
Yeah, we've got another one, one in the hopper.
But it's still that I can't go out and buy 10 acres for an acreage and build a house.
If it's a lot of record, legal lot of record, you might get a
lot of A1.
What I was referring to is what they were planning on doing before that to encourage smaller farms. They were planning on doing something so instead of having another 36 acres, you could have 20 acres.
And what we did is we did a comprehensive review of all the parcels in the region, and I'm appropriate for having determined all the parcels that were over 45 acres in the long time. I started making some assumptions that if this were needed to provide, what kind of limitations do you have to do that would stand in the way of smaller scale farms, because for example, we really wanted to build a local food section and propose a new all in writing one by one. What we found through that, because the providers had that set of farms exemption that I told their users, and very times long standing history of not working on acreage.
Just for the record, I have to speak.
on 511. Okay, principle one. So we're talking about development within the natural resource area, and it says generally discourage development, but in unique circumstances where appropriate development plans may enhance the area, recognize such approaches. It feels like there should be such as there. Like what is a unique situation? Like is it a trade-off where you get it? 30-acre conservation unit in exchange for allowing the owner to build on 5 acres. Is that one of those situations? You know, it just seems like there's no advantage. It's hard to envision what those might be until you really start. Yeah, right. And then on 513, there's just that thing that I noted earlier in principle 2 and principle 3. We talked about clustering in one of them, but you thought about open character in the next. And just think there should be a statement about saying how those two things don't actually involve. I get it. It's just that I'm not sure that we'll always be in it. You know?
Yeah, I
think so.
Well, this is before we make a change.
And then 517 is commercial and industrial development. And in principle 5, it talks about designing new residential development. I'm pretty sure that's supposed to be commercial and industrial. Or is it supposed to be? Okay. 519, principle 8 is another mention of clustering, so same issues. That's all I got. What other questions?
This is about a
okay, so if there's no more comments, we're done with you. I'm going to let that be on.
Move on to chapter 6, economic prosperity.
I like the slide. Is it cooking? Wait a minute.
Add the content of the chapter on cover page, up to the table, to the back of the chapter, adjust the margins for three-fold function. As we saw, the two of those will do. Add info about the high cultural trail. On in one of the sessions, we added language about current county systems, some projects of improvement of urban rural areas. We moved the certified local government program to an actual goal that it didn't exist, but to have that become a reality. Right? Added two strategies, goals two. And I think so, there were a couple things that Mike had a couple things that he added from the conversation. Find eight industries and then go back and expand those based on some other languages. Three from chapter and then add a few more strategies that the project can change to goal two. So, any edits, comments? Okay, transportation. Transportation. Nice, I'm glad you're still doing it. Any other questions? So then I was thinking I would move
this draft, you know,
from the So in previous versions, Jerry, I'm sorry, go ahead. We spoke, overall, the expanded county transportation map to 5 days. We have one big map here to get food, food, and water. Added language from the Ocean Highway, Highway Heritage Byway group about their portal management plan. They provided that material. Circled the high-traffic areas on the 2011 map. I've been checking.
see if there is a Google DLC method that is anywhere down. So I will continue to do that until the end of this process, and when we get that new one, I'll update it, but as of this morning, we'll let know here. Replacing the county side of the transportation plan with a community approved, I think it was approved a couple weeks ago. But now we're needing some material to add that in, so we'll do that because we did it. But we added the plan improvements, which actually were covered in the earlier and on the agenda about the Hook River Bridge and the 35-5
swap. Have you seen a preview of that yet? The 5-year?
Cool.
Any questions or comments about the presentation session?
If you didn't get the new one, you can get the document.
Marvin, we'll be going on the way out to see on 7:15. During the end of that, it says improvements to the airport are planned, including construction of the terminal building and hangar. He wants to know if they're planned or they're proposed. And I guess I'll ask, is there a difference? Is there a distinction?
In terms of how airports get built in this country, I would say no. You can plan it and then you ask the FAA for permission.
Okay.
And that's how airports get expanded, it's a little bit more than stuff. But I would
say so more than just an idea.
I guess I'd say my guess is it's probably no matter. I took the framework from them, I mean not word for word, but generally summarized whatever they had in terms of what they had in their book and that kind of thing, or what they were planning on doing about the
hasn't that also been a point of contention in the Ames? Hasn't there been some debate? I mean, just reading newspaper about this. Does it mean the Ames is struggling with that, or do they have anything to do with it?
Possibly. I haven't seen any of it. I'll go check and see whether it was playing the game that they have. And let's go with this terminology here. If it's planned, then there's somebody's like, got any. Here's what the building's going to be. You see this stage. There's like a, somebody's on the space season or something.
Right. Yeah.
If that exists, I'll just go with plan. If it's just, hey, we need a bigger hand.
Yeah.
Then we'll go with
the metal and the money game of planning stuff right here.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Any other questions on transportation? What do you think about doing the community indicators report and the attendees and one health to
okay.
And then we'll do the last batch of comments.
Okay. I'm sorry with that question.
Okay.
Go to A. So there were some missing graphics that just defined what the data is. We added that just so people have a general idea why certain neighborhoods are outside of the chart and how they're all working on what sorts from retiring households and housing units for women and students of the guard. They found the same, they're not. Updated the transportation map, moved county history, the front of the appendix, added a good existing areas of collaboration between government or existing government collaboration. I have data that I've gotten in the last days from Matt, the GIS Jackson County Township Senators and the actual parcel and acreages that are in here. We have several that are zero, so those will be updated for the next draft as well. But again, it's not content based, which is showing up in the numbers, but it's not there. Go ahead and skip forward to 5. We didn't change anything in the need because it is all the survey results that we brought for. So, but as you see, minimal change of this chapter is fairly much somewhat all new from September. We added a map of the municipal and county contracting plans and information. So
for comments that we were able to find, either the city provided or the county provided, we added a map of those and showed the ones that don't. And there are several canopy towns that are not on the all the other guys from around the square down the town, so
Now's the time.
Right.
There's a lot of good information and all of the appendix
is awesome. It's really nice. Are those up on the website now too?
Yeah,
so
I have
the
new one. Yeah, what we have in the hard copy is
she's out there. Okay.
County or special?
Now, we'll keep it there and I'll adopt it and I'll create one plan, two file for it and try to figure out how to do it.
Throughout this process, we didn't want to take away from the uniqueness and the basic on the website to the fundraiser for public users to focus on and make it possible. But if you go to
Does the Planning and Zoning Commission feel that we're on track for a May 4th hearing?
Hearing?
There will be a public hearing. We will take the comments that you provided tonight,
make
the appropriate adjustments. But I just kind of want to give some feedback as to whether or not you think the information that you've received with the comments that you've made, do you think that we can still meet our May 4th?
This is in lieu of our regular CMZ meeting?
Well, it would be during the same time.
It's Wednesday.
Yeah, it'd be at 4 o'clock.
In lieu of.
Everybody, don't submit anything from me.
I thought we all.
Yeah.
I mean, it took us a while, but we got all the way through it. Again, any problems or sentence structure or anything, you can go to Jerry. Did you blow anything up? I mean, just kind of.
No, I'm hoping you'll look over here and I'll just say I feel comfortable with the way it looks.
Okay.
That's good. Yeah, okay. Good. Well, this is after you update the, you know, with the copy and paste errors, yada yada. I mean, that's going to appear on the website, right?
Yeah.
So we can review it even, you know.
Yeah, I would say if you get your, if there are final things, if you get those to Jerry in the next week, so that I have time to confirm, you know,
Well, Marvin gave you a bunch, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
You had a bunch, didn't you, Aaron?
So, you probably need an email. Just wait. So you say, set, not change anything now, your name, whatever it means, that would be great.
You just have Stephanie do a text message to us. I like that.
Okay.
And I would say, don't bother to make another copy of this. Mm-hmm. And you're going to do it in color, which is great to be. Because the black and white is really hard to read and strategy boxes. They're fine online, but there's so many that's hard to read.
It'll be online, right? All these changes will be on the CTC plan.
Yeah,
on the website.
I want to sure. Yeah, you can print them out, but I didn't have my book. I'll show you how to ask about that this morning. I haven't updated them because you've been putting them out and giving them to you guys, but I just forgot them.
And I want to give a shout out to Leanne because she did spend a lot of time. I think each one of these is like a ream of paper, and there were problems with our printing machine, and so I do want to thank her for her.
Well, she's the one
that
kept you on track, isn't she?
Yeah.
I mean, she's very, very good. I know that, and it's really good. Leanne is very, very good at getting things done. I mean, she knows the regulations, the rules and regulations, forwards and backwards, and she's not telling the truth when she doesn't remember them.
Great, thank you so much.
Yes,
thank you.
Thank you all for that name, your comments, and feel fantastic that time. So, and we'll do a great job as well.
Thank you. All right, some comments.
I don't really have anything. Just the C2C from here on out through May 4th. I've got a couple of extra copies. If you would like to take one home, or if you know somebody that would like to go through it, feel free to take it with you.
Okay.
We are hiring a new planner. We're going to be interviewing Thursday and Friday planner candidates, so we're hoping to get somebody on board, hopefully within the next 2 to 3 weeks. So.
Oh,
we are actually taking on an intern. We hired an intern, and she starts May 9th.
With you?
Yeah, she's going to work through like August 19th, so we're looking forward to that too.
I like that.
Great. Commissioner
Thomas?
Thank you.
I hope you enjoy.
Thank you.
I always do that.
Any comments?
No, thank you.
Okay. I just have one quick comment, kind of touching back what we talked about earlier. If there's ever, I'm asking you to be kind of a fortune teller here, but if there's ever an issue where you think that the Board of Supervisors would benefit from having one of us there to represent the commission,
okay.
Please just let us know. Somebody can be there. And you can let the board know that we've got a commissioner here if you have any questions for the commission.
Okay, I appreciate that. And then, too, I mean, it is open to anybody, so the whole commission could come if they want.
I did not feel like yesterday, if I'm not, I didn't feel like yesterday, I'm there to talk on the next planning commission, obviously, so I didn't. And I do realize that we did do something that's contrary to the recommendation you had brought. Now, you said that I don't know if that is an issue and wanted to qualify. I didn't feel particularly like you were supporting our recommendation, but I understand why.
take a different level of mental preparation to go and know you're representing the planning commission versus just listening out of personal interest.
And I don't think that they made their ruling based upon personal interest. The board of supervisors, from what I was, listening to on the tape.
All right, we have a motion to adjourn.
I do.
Very good.
Thank you.